Yes, everyone, what's going on? My name is Stephen Howson. This is Howson's Brew. Hope you've all got a nice brew with you guys. Here we go. Today, joined by Alex and Kieran. Hopefully, this is watchable. We've never done this before where we've had people on a Skype call like this. Usually, the quality is not so good, but obviously, we're all self-isolating and contained in that at the moment. So, hopefully, it's not too bad. Hopefully, the sound's good. Hopefully, you can hear us. Hopefully, you can hear them. And hopefully this all works. Happy days. Get your questions in, get your comments in, give the video a like. Hope everyone's happy days at home. But yeah, come and join us. It's time for a brew. It's 4 o'clock-ish on a Monday. And you know what that means. Kieran, Alex, how you doing, lads?
All right. How are you? Still got a bit of work doing today, but, you know, it's all a bit weird, isn't it?
Trust this whole thing to kick off, and it's probably the nicest weather I've seen since maybe the World Cup in 2018. I'm not going to lie. I'm stuck here. I've got a bit of the cough as well. not Rona. I think I'm okay, but I am self-isolating now, but I think everything's all right. Hanging in there.
I've had a shit day today.
I was at the golf club today. Everyone is still playing golf, so, you know.
I went to the post office to post the latest batch of the Stretford Paddock merch. Was there 2.5 hours.
So that's why does it take so long in the post office? Like, why? Like, what? Is it not just like simple, here's the package. Thank you.
Joe, I'll fucking send you next week so you can have a look. How about that?
Oh, I believe you. I was down with Mitts last week, and the guy was like, no, this will take about 2.5 hours. I was like, okay. Don't know what that's about. But what? But, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah, get your comments and questions in for us, everybody. We actually do have some notes about what we're going to talk about today. Do you want to kick us off, Kieran, what we're talking about?
I know, yeah.
Yeah, well, there is, surprisingly, with the lack of football, there is a bit of news. And United-related as well. Significant news as well. We're going to start off with Lukaku as well. I think Joe may have touched upon it in the news this morning. But basically, it's kind of come out from pretty reliable sources, reliable as you can get. Lukaku's agent saying, if Dybala had gone to United, he would have gone to Juve. I mean, I think that's kind of what we all expected at the time, wasn't it? It shouldn't come maybe as a surprise, but some of the quotes he's coming out and saying are, Lukaku was wearing the Inter Milan shirt and not the Juventus shirt, not the Juventus one, because Juventus didn't end up finding an agreement between Dybala and Manchester United. Juventus had done an incredible job trying to get him. They have been the best club for its organisation, but also trophies won every season. It wins something. Lukaku at Juventus would have made many people happy. I think Lukaku at Juventus would have been an absolute frightening prospect. If you put him in that team, he will bag probably... I mean, he's banging at Inter Milan now, but Juve is a different kettle of fish completely altogether.
It's a strange one.
Imagine us with Dybala this year. Oof.
Yeah. Well, would you consider Dybala better than Bruno? I'm not sure I would.
No. His numbers have not been excellent. I don't think he's got that. No. But I think from the start of the year, imagine, like, you know, we lost Pogba early on, but just like Dybala being in there all year. Instead of having Pereira in there, Dybala. I don't think they've been as good as what we have now with Bruno, but I think the level just for that little bit would have been top four easily. With Declan, just one more player.
Declan Murphy in the comments there, he says, so is that Oli got rid of Lukaku and Sanchez talk is rubbish? No. I'm not sure where you got that from, mate. Dybala is a goal scoring 10, won't facilitate play. He's a strange one, isn't he? He's almost like a more agile, quicker, younger version of Wan-Mata in terms of what he offers on the pitch.
He is. He's a fantastic player, Paulo Dybala. And I think everyone, I mean, you think back to that, what was that, against Real Madrid? He tore him apart himself. But since then, it's been somewhat of a, not a steady decline, but I mean, he was out of, when Allegri was there, he kind of fell out of his plans. I mean, this season, he's got 24 appearances. He's only got 7 goals and 4 assists in the league in Serie A. And he's only started 17 of those games. Now, we're talking about a guy who's considered probably in that world-class bracket. I know it's a term thrown around a lot today. But for a guy who's considered world-class, with 7 goals and 4 assists, it doesn't really, you know... Doesn't really fill you with confidence, to be honest.
Bruno's not far behind.
It's not been a few years from.
Fucking Igalo's not far behind that.
I know, yeah.
No.
Crazy.
But more coming out as well. He said, Romelu has a big heart and he needs to be in a place in which he feels loved and people want him. From this point of view, what made the difference was the warmth of the Inter fans in comparison to the Juve fans. I don't know about that. That smells like he didn't get the move to Juve. So he loves the fucking Inter fans. But basically, yeah, it's all come out now. And it shouldn't come as a surprise, to be honest. I think Lukaku... I think we all kind of knew he'd bang in Serie A, though. I don't think there was any of us who questioned his goal-scoring ability. It was just fitting into a system. And it's become a well-known fact that... this was kind of agreed in March, wasn't it? Lukaku came to Ollie and said, look, I want to leave. And Ollie pretty much turned around and said, that's fair, you're not part of my plans. And I hear a lot of United fans, and it's a running narrative in the comments that... Why did we let a proven goal scorer go in Romelu Lukaku? People forget that Romelu Lukaku was not going to play under Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. I think that was made pretty clear from when he came into the club. And it's not fair on Romelu Lukaku as well. You do have to think about the player. He's only what? How old is he now?
25?
Something like that. It's
can't
not
be younger than
go.
Me. Fuck that.
No. Yeah, man. He's been around for nearly 10 years now, which is pretty mad. But it's not fair on him to sit on the bench when he wants to be playing first team football. So it was probably best for him to leave. But people still run the narrative that it's Ollie's fault that he's gone.
Well, he's a sellable asset. He's an asset that you could get some cash in. He's an asset that you could bring some revenue in and reinvest it elsewhere in the squad. Sean in the comments has said here, Lukaku said he wanted to leave, but Ollie was trying to keep him. Don't believe every single thing that you hear about Ollie in press conferences. Ollie is an assassin, and not just in front of goal. Ollie has gotten rid of everybody that he wanted to get rid of. I think he didn't want to get rid of Herrera, but the club was really slow in sorting the contract out. He'd already agreed it with Paris. Ollie did some stuff about Lukaku towards the end of the season, which it's not my place to go into over it. But trust me, that he wanted him gone, and he got him gone. There was no way he would have left without Ollie's rubber stamping. Ollie can come out in a press conference all he likes and say, do you know what? I didn't fancy him. Or, do you know what? I really wanted him to stay. But if you really wanted him to stay, you'd have dug your feet in and you'd have kept him. The fact that he left, actions are way larger than words in this instance.
I think Ollie probably said to him, look, you aren't the kind of player I want in this team. You're welcome. Like, I'd love to have you around as a plan B. And obviously, I don't think, and Lukaku doesn't want that. And to be fair to him, he's in his prime of his career. He shouldn't really be expecting that. And that's not what he was aiming for. But he wasn't going to fit into the system this year. You know, we've not got wingers out there putting crosses into the box. That's not what Ollie's done. So if we'd have kept him around, he would have scored his goals. He would have come on. But, and especially with the injuries he had, he probably would have played more. But it's not what Ollie wants. You can see straight away, Gallo is, everyone says, well, he's the same kind of player, proven goal scorer. But you just see, Igalo wants the ball. He's going to hold up on his chest more. He's going to do things like that. He's going to link players up as well as being that goal scorer. Well, Lukaku was just a counter-attack, very good. But otherwise, he's just a goal scorer that wants the ball. He wants one-touch finishes. He doesn't want to be linking up play. That's not... I think Mourinho kind of tried to play him like that a little bit, but he's never, ever going to be that player. That's not what he was bought for. And that's not what he is. And I think you've seen that at Milan this year. Everyone's gone on and said, look how good he is. But all he's doing is what he was doing at Everton. He was scoring goals, scoring headers. He was driving with the ball when he got it to feet. But he's not been linking up play as if he's a prime Drogba, is he? That's not what he's turned into a lap. No, he's just done what he's good at. And he's in a system with players that can cross the ball. He's in that 3-5-2 system that Conte plays, where he's got wing-backs that can cross the ball well. You know, he was always going to fit well. That's why Conte wanted him at Chelsea when we signed him. That's why Conte properly spat his dummy out that season, because that was the player he wanted. He's a better version of Morata.
On the stuff about Lukaku and Ollie and all that lot, lads, you got to consider the source. Loads of people are saying Lukaku said Ollie wanted to keep him. Lukaku's not going to give an interview and be like, yeah, he told me to fucking sling it. Is he? Come on, think about this. And also, Ollie's nature is to be the guy that... Ollie's nature and Ollie's personality is always to be positive. So he's always going to say to someone, oh, do you know what, Rom? Yeah, you're in my plans, you know. So maybe if this doesn't work out, because if he doesn't end up getting a buyer for him, then he's not got a player who goes, this fucking dick don't want me here. Ollie's sly, in a good way, but he's sly. You can't just take whatever's happening, especially when it comes to transfers and does he want me, does he not want me at face value. You can't do that.
I think it speaks for itself when we're all talking about Ollie wanting these players. He's the first manager since Sir Alex left that has actually moved these players on. He's the only one who's done it. We've had Jose, the most cutthroat manager, you'd probably say, in world football, probably. And he didn't get rid of, you know, the likes of the Smallings, the Darmians, you know, the usual suspects. And Ollie's the first one to slowly have that turnover of players as well. And I think just going on to Lukaku saying Ollie wanted him, I think that was in the, I think he did an interview with Ian Wright there just recently as well. I haven't seen it, but I'll take people's word for it. But at the end of the day, Ollie's the guy who's been moving these players on and no one else has. So this whole narrative of him wanting to keep these players, I think, like you said, Steve, is a bit bollocks, to be honest.
Well, you saw it went with Mourinho and centre-halves, you know, in all that summer saying, this lot of shit, I need a new one, I need a new centre-half, I need Harry Maguire, I need him, I need that. And then when he didn't get in, you're now stuck with Lindelof, who you've seen this season, good, solid centre-half. He's not the best in the world, but he's a good, solid centre-half. But the mistakes he was making, that was all down to confidence. And if Ollie had ended up with Lukaku, where he'd have gone, we need a new centre-forward, we don't want this lad, he's no good, he's not what we want, and then he ends up keeping him, and then he ends up like this season, he'd have probably played.
Yeah.
Like, imagine the confidence. That. We'd have been in that same situation again.
Imagine he'd gone to him in March, and he goes, do you know what, I want to leave. And Ollie's gone, fucking good, you are shit, mate. You're fucking overweight, you got a touch like a skip. You're fucking garbage, and I will rather play myself than play you. And he goes, fucking hell, all right. And then we don't sell him, and then come the 10th of August, and he's got a line up, and he'll be like, Rom, do you fancy leading the line for us tonight?
No, mate.
I mean, that's an extreme example.
I'm going to sit here, mate. Fuck that.
But that's
and also, as well, you have to try... I was just going to say, you also have to try recoup your money as much as possible. You keep Lukaku for an extra season. He makes 15 appearances in the league, bags 3 goals. You're not going to get 75 million for him. I think the club were in a position where they thought, we've invested 75 million. It's not worked. I mean, how much should we sell him for in the end? Was it near enough recouped the majority of the money back?
Yeah, pretty much.
Pretty much.
So at the end of the day, it was a deal that worked out for everyone. I don't know why everyone's moaning. I think that when Rashford got injured and... when Martial got injured and Rashford was forced to play down the middle, people started... Just I remember all the pundits saying, why is Ollie sold Lukaku, this, that, or the other? Well, it's become pretty obvious now. The issue is not having Lukaku. The issue is not having enough depth in the squad to cover when someone like Rashford or Martial gets injured.
Totally. Keep throwing your comments and stuff in like that. I will read them out. Remember, you can get yourself one of these brew mugs... ka-ching, like these, full freebies. And look at that, how cool is that? It's me and that Jesus fella.
Oh yeah, there it is.
Hey, this is it, isn't it?
So I've picked a winner here. It's from Haz17994. He says, if you don't like football, Manchester United, laughing, workplace banter, aka winding up your annoying producer, cans, a man who knows every flag in the world, serious debates like if hot dogs are or are not sandwiches, a funny Jesus, proper entertaining and interesting football talk that isn't BS, then this podcast isn't for you. But if you like those things, then this is the podcast for you. Get subscribed. And I absolutely echo those sentiments. That's on iTunes. If you want to get one of these brew mugs, all you got to do is go and leave us a comment on the... that was really awkward, right? I didn't need to do that. I just need to do that. Leave us a comment. Leave us a review in the in iTunes. Give us a 5-star review, and I'll send you a mug out once you send me your address and stuff. So, Haz, get in touch. Show me it's you, and I'll send you a mug out. Saqib says, "This looks a bit sad, lads." It is a bit sad.
It is sad.
It's proper
the
sad.
Oh God!
You can't win.
What's going to happen if we properly go in lockdown next week, which could happen?
There's some talk that at 5 o'clock today that they might announce something like that because they're going like, I don't know what they're going to do. everyone's not staying inside. Oh, Jesus Christ. Hey, do us a flavour, Kieran. Mute yourself if you're going to rona all over everyone, so at least we don't hear it.
Yeah, I'll stop roaning. Right, I was going to say...
If
on
they
the
do
topic,
lock us down, like...
Sorry, go on, Steve.
I think they are going to lock us down at some point this week, because they keep saying, hey, can you not all keep going to the park together? Can you not all go to the market? I think people need to be locked down, I think.
Well, they need to be told, don't do it. Don't do it. Don't. You're not allowed to, or you're going to get shot and fined and all this kind of stuff. They can't just say, lads, suggest you don't go outside. Literally, one of the pubs near us, there was 50 people outside last night, just gone to the bargain booths, picked up those cans, and just sat outside it. They're like, it's not the point. It's not the point that they're not suing coronavirus behind the bar. That's not why they've stopped you going. They've stopped you going because you sat near each other, coughing and shit like that. Yeah. They're not getting it. And it's
We made a cut. We were saying we don't want to keep harping on about the virus. We want to keep the football talk on. But I have to mention this. Has anyone heard that lasagna WhatsApp?
Has anyone not heard that lasagna WhatsApp? Okay, I'll get some new mates if you've not.
They basically tracked down, just there's articles on it, but the FA came out and had to actually issue a statement that there is no giant lasagna, you know, being built or whatever like that. And they tracked down the guy who actually said it, some lad from Gillingham, I think it is. But, oh, man, that has to be, because when I heard it, I was genuinely thinking that we're going into lockdown. The army are incoming, but no.
Have you seen that today? I don't know whether... It was a fake news article, but someone put in our group today, didn't they, saying the FA confirmed Wembley will not be used to cook a giant lasagna. It was definitely fake news. No, it was Daily Mail. Probably fake news.
Did someone have to go and ring up? Like, just like, hang on, I'll mime it, because this is what we do on this show. We mime stuff, don't we? So be like, hang on, all right. Hi, is that Wembley Stadium? Hiya. I'm just wondering what time the lasagna starts. Like, what the actual living fuck do you think was going to happen? Like, did you think that the guy on the other end of the phone's just going to be like, you fucking dick. Who are you from? Mail. Yeah, fucking thought so. Express, yeah. Typical.
Oh, man.
Dick. Yeah. But yeah, we're trying to keep the football chat going as well, because it's very easy at the moment, isn't it? To constantly... But we want to keep it positive, don't we? You know. And there is some, well, positive or not, there's some more Jude Bellingham stuff coming out as well. I think this one's going to be, I don't know about you lads, this one is going to be the Daniel James one of this summer. I think we are going to get it over the line early. 25 million was the figure I saw floating around earlier.
Lot of scratch.
But apparently, and this can't be true, the Birmingham Live reporting that Jude Bellingham is going to earn more money, I don't believe this, at Borussia Dortmund than Manchester United if he chooses to go to Germany. Hmm.
Someone getting a narrative out.
I don't know about that. Maybe to probably boost the price, boost the wages. But the article's saying as well, United are desperate to lure Bellingham to Old Trafford and invite him to the Carrington Training Centre earlier this month, which obviously I think is pretty much well acknowledged now, for a tour and to introduce him to major figures of the club, such as Executive Vice Chairman Ed Woodward, which is probably where the Dortmund links have come from now that he's met our very own Ed as well. But the Mirror then saying as well, the Red Devils are willing to offer less money to the England youth international than Dortmund, which smells like to me like trying to raise the price. They said the report from the Mirror adds that Dortmund are pulling out all the stops to sign the midfielder, and it fears they will lose three lines winger Jadon Sancho before next season. Lads, what are we thinking?
I honestly can't imagine we'd pay less than Dortmund.
No.
My only thought is that maybe Dortmund see him getting into the first team quicker than we do, just because of they move players on a bit quicker. United maybe have been a bit set. You know, I think, you know, maybe they're thinking maybe Pogba stays, you've got Bruno, you've got, you know, you've got Fred, you've got McTominay. You're now starting to look at a midfield that's got a lot of players in. And do we have the room to put a 16, 17-year-old in there? Is he that good yet? Probably going to play a bit more in the youth team or even get loaned out. Maybe Dortmund are thinking, do you know what, this lad could be in our first team in a year's time. We need to pay him a first team wage. That's the only thing I can think about that, is that maybe they see him as a first team starter quicker than United do. But I don't know. It seems a lot. I mean, I've not seen enough of him. I don't know. I mean, is he worth all this? It's a lot of hype this for this 16, 17-year-old lad, isn't it, really?
I saw something... there that he's made more appearances for a player under 17 this century in like England, in all English leagues, professional leagues. I think he's beaten out the likes of, was it Rooney, Dele Alli, Oxlade-Chamberlain. He's played more games, so he's got more experience than anyone. And the numbers he's been putting up this season as well, 32 games, 4 goals, 2 assists from midfield. There's no doubt in his ability, but he is only 16, isn't he?
Yeah, he's played everywhere over midfield as well, which half of me thinks is them trying to figure out exactly what his best position might be. The fact that at 16 he can go and compete in the Championship tells me that this kid is going to be a fucking animal in years to come. But I am really excited about what could happen with him. If I'm him, I probably do go Dortmund, in all honesty. I reckon their pathway into... For me, if I was to give any advice to a young player, and they would be quite within their rights to tell me to fucking ram it up my ass, what do I know? But if I was to give any advice to a young player, I would say you need 100 games, and it doesn't matter the level. Senior football, 100 games before you're 22. And if you can get those 100 games in, I think that you can go on and have a career. Otherwise, you do what the likes of Angel Gomez have done. Maybe if you go back a little bit further, Rothwell or players like that, Matty Willock, that ones that they just sort of ticked into a certain age and just hadn't had that experience. You've got to say Axel Tuanzebe, what was happening with him? So he went and did a full season and proved himself. I think you need 2 full seasons, like, you know, roughly 100 games under your belt at 21, 22, and you can go on and be a player. Otherwise, I think that the potential that you show at 18 years of age, 17 years of age, can just absolutely wash away without getting that senior experience.
You see me with Rothwell's at Blackburn now, isn't he? He's doing starting every week now, and he's a very good player. And you just think that if he'd have done that earlier, if at 18 he'd have gone out and gone to a... You know, he did the loans because he said he lived around the corner from me, so the couple of lads knew him. And he just kind of...
Nice fly.
He was so good in the youth team. And you're like... And then he just doesn't play. You know, and he didn't play, and then he kind of fizzled out a bit with injuries and things like that. And like you said, if he'd have done that earlier, so if this Bellingham, you know, he's playing them games, it makes a massive difference. You look at how Dele Alli's done now. I don't think Dele Alli's as good as everyone says, but having what he did at MK Dons, where he was an established player before he came into the Premier League, made a massive difference. And if he'd have been bouncing about in the youth academy, he wouldn't have done it, you know. Is Dele Alli a better player than Angel Gomez? Is he a better technical player? You don't know. You're probably not. Mm. Just that experience of playing in a decent, the physical level of the Championship, of League One, playing first team football, makes a massive difference. And you're seeing there straight away, like, them players making that step up. So that Bellingham, maybe he's thinking, if I go to United, am I going to play? Am I going to go and play under 23s football? Go to Dortmund, play first team football every week. And then in a year's time, 2 years' time, then I get my big move. Look at Odegaard as well, went to Madrid, didn't play. And he was and you've seen now he's gone and played a run of games. He's a quality player and he's standing out. If he'd have made that little step first, if he'd have gone to a Sociedad, if he'd have gone to a lower league team first, or if Madrid had done the right thing and loaned him out straight away, you know, maybe he'd be the player a little bit quicker than he is now.
Yeah, it was a bad move when you seen him going to Real Madrid. You're like, you've either got to come in, if you're coming into a Manchester United or you're coming into a Real Madrid or a Barcelona, you could probably actually put them away from us at the moment, actually, because we are now below them in levels and we probably would give some younger players an opportunity. But generally, you would say that if you're coming into one of those clubs, you better be coming in with like a world record fee. Otherwise, I think you can get lost in the melee. And as soon as I saw that one going on with Odegaard, I was like, fucking hell, that's not a good move. And even some players, like, you see him going to Manchester City and stuff at the moment, and you go, "Why? What are you doing? He ain't going to play you. He won't play you. Yeah. Not fucking Riyad Mahrez and 9 others in front of you. What are you talking about?"
It's a bit weird, this, like I said, this is narrative that maybe Bellingham's not going to play. I think all he's played, or United have fielded, on average, the youngest team in the Premier League this season, if not the second youngest team. Yeah. We've definitely fielded the youngest starting 11 when we played Brighton as well. And I mean, just look back to last summer. Who would have thought Dan James would have played as many games as he has this season? I mean, I think he's missed, he started the majority of Premier League games as well. I've been hard pushed to find many players who played more minutes than him. We all thought that he would come in and kind of play second fiddle, or kind of play maybe the cup games and maybe fight for a place in future seasons. But it's not. He's been kind of a consistent cog in that United system, whether he deserves to be there or not, I don't know. But, I mean, there is a chance that Bellingham could come and could be kind of thrown into at the deep end at 17 years old. Stranger things have happened as well. And you'd imagine the fact that they're willing to pay, or as reported, they're going to pay $25 million for him, that he's got a lot of ambition for this lad, that he's going to throw him in at the deep end and he is going to be given that chance next season, or maybe give him 6 months. Because look at Hannibal Mejbri now. He came in last summer from Monaco, and there's people talking about him now getting a call up to the senior team because he's only had 6 months there as well. So I don't think you can discount Bellingham maybe going into the first team straight away.
No, he's been mint as well, Mejbri. I think that's a good shout.
Yeah. He's been excellent, to be fair.
The worry is, you know, a lot of people are saying we need to loan out more of our youth products. I agree. I think that a lot of our lads, they do stay in the youth team maybe a bit too long and they don't get that experience. The problem is, though, the worst thing, you don't want to turn into Chelsea. You don't want to turn into a team that's got 40 players out on loan and it just kind of get lost in it. That's the gamble you take in doing this, because you still need to field them players and you still need them at a decent level. You know, you don't want your under 18s or under 23s losing every week. You still want them competing. So getting rid of them. And that's the other thing, is that I think United want to keep them there so that if there is an injury or they do see that little spark, that they just go, right, let's throw you in. The problem with loaning them out is you can't just do that. You can't just say, right, well, you're going to start this week. You know, if Rashford had been alone somewhere, yes, I mean, he'd have got up to that level anyway. But would he have got that start that time? Would he have got that start when Martial and Rooney and everyone was injured? Would he have got that chance? And would it have happened as quickly? So that I think is in United's mind. I think they always want the option of throwing in the youth player on the bench, or they want to throw him in if we do get the injuries. But again, it's looking at the long term. You see how Chelsea have done it, and there's a couple of, now it's kind of with a manager that's willing to do it, I think they've seen a bit of promise where you've got them out, who's the other lad that's done it? Abraham, where they've had the loans come back and they play. But since before then, they weren't getting the chance. They weren't coming back in and play. They were just kind of going out on loan and disappearing because they were signing on top of them. They were signing players in them positions. They weren't doing it.
I'm trying not to talk all over you because I know that Skype absolutely wigs out if everyone talks at the same time.
Yeah, it's
and it'll be a nightmare for the viewers. Yeah, it's different when in the office you're like, fuck, shut up, dick.
Yeah, yeah.
But so I think everyone's just trying to like allow it a little bit, because you do kind of have to when it's a call like this. Like I said, lads, get your questions in and let us know what you're up to. What have you had for dinner today, lads? This is how we normally all eat together, but I have to do it on my own today.
You know what? I woke up early because we had a Skype call this morning, team meeting. I've only had beans on toast today. You know, I'm not feeling, maybe that's the Rona toast kicking in. That would be the Rona kicking in. But I think beans on toast, staple. I don't know what I'm having for tea tonight, though. It's almost too warm to eat, which sounds really weird. But I'm really in the mood to go for a few pints so badly. Oh, this weather. Oh, I'd love a bit of football and a few pints. I'm self-isolating, as all you in the comments should be as well. Don't be giving us crap for doing these videos. Self-isolate and wash your hands.
Yeah, I honestly, I've said it a few times, but that's because I'm mentally sort of projecting. Like, in my head, I'm thinking like, do you remember when like England scored during the World Cup, right? And like you've seen them big parties of people just fucking doing that. I want one of them for when they say you can go on a piss again. And I want it to be reacted like a goal's just been scored.
If they don't make it a bank holiday when this all happens, they're doing it wrong.
Oh my God.
They just need to. It needs to be a 4-day weekend. I might not even put football on. I might just say, do you know what? Just go out. Don't worry about football. Don't worry about things to do. Just the only things open are bars. Everywhere else is going to be shut. No other businesses. Just bars are open. That's it.
Bars and kebab shops. Get in.
I'll tell you what. Yeah. If this virus, if you can take any sort of maybe, there's no positives from it, but it's made us, you know, maybe just appreciate football and watching it. You know, because I don't think any of us realised, you know, obviously there's bigger issues the virus is causing, but I think the gap in football is, you know, it's a big deal. And I think we all thought we could do without it. But a few days in, we're just sat there and you're like, what do we watch on the telly? There's no football. Oh, we can watch the... No, you can't do that.
I've got one of them Amazon Fire things. Games. What's the thing called? It's like IPTV. But one of the things on it has got a sports schedule. and it's still got everything that was due to happen listed, but it's got TBC due to coronavirus. And you just scroll through everything. It's got every sport on there. Every sport that's ever been on telly, like biathlon, cancelled due to thingy. Football, is this guy, this game. Burkina Faso international game against these. So one thing that hadn't been cancelled, and it was at like 2 a.m. over here for us, which must be like a, was at 9, 10 a.m. in Australia, and it was a horse racing thing the other day. And I was like, sport.
Sport.
Oh, man. Have you seen, well, you put before, people betting on FIFA now, aren't they?
And the weather.
That's it.
Betting on the weather.
And the weather. You've seen the lads betting on the weather.
Come on.
Because everyone's just like...
Get a commercial deal in, lads. We're going to be betting on Paddock, me playing Footy Manager in Paddock later. Don't worry about it. Oh, and if you haven't seen as well, over on Twitch at twitch.tv/Steehausen, because I couldn't remember my login for Mr. Stevenhausen, so I've had to create a new thing. But I am taking Stretford Paddock. I'm calling it from the Manchester League to the Champions League. It's quite imaginative, but the reason I'm calling it that is because we are in the Manchester League on it, which is level 11 or 12. And it's going to take, well, you know, it's going to take at least 10 years just to get to the Premier League. And that's if I get promoted every single season, which guess what? I ain't going to do. So if you fancy coming checking that out, don't know how long we're going to be locked down for, but I imagine you've probably got a bit of time on your hands. So come check me out, Skyping that, Twitching that even. And then I'll be banging it out as an edited video on YouTube as well. I was going to take the drone out last night with Adam and Joe. We was going to go do some filming around Manchester, but my batteries on my drone are dead. Dead as well. Not like, need charging up. They're like, they're broken. So we're not
just completely bollocks. Yeah.
Not doing
I was going to say, just on the topic of the absence of sport, do you know what yesterday was?
Sunday.
FA Cup? Same Sunday in which Liverpool were meant to win the Premier League. Yesterday was the day.
Has it been 31 years yet? When's it 31 years? Going to lift it.
What was last time? I mean, 90 was that? Was last time Liverpool won a league? Was it 90 eight, or 89? Leeds won it in 90. It was 89. Because I know Leeds won it just before the Premier League.
Yeah.
So Leeds won it 91, 92, was it?
Yeah, that was the one. But yesterday was the day.
Arsenal the year before.
Pied Piper says, what type of drone?
Alan Smith at Anfield.
It's a Mavic Pro. The usual drone everyone's got. The bat. If anyone knows anything about these and can help me out, basically, I haven't used it in over a year, I don't think, which is bad because it's awesome and it gets really good footage. And I want to use it for Paddock FC stuff. Basically, when you plug it in to charge up the batteries, one of the LEDs just flashes like 10 times and then it stops and then it just flashes 10 times again. Left it on charge for about 16 hours, still doing that. Swapped it over to the other battery, left that on for about 5 or 6 hours, still doing that. So my diagnosis is it's fucked.
That's an accurate diagnosis, I think. Yeah, I think you need a new drone, Mr. Harrison.
Well, I just need a new battery.
Oh, lad.
Need a new battery.
Get lads. I'll tell you what, I'll go on.
On a slightly serious note, because your podcast with Danny Higginbottom where he says, just give it Liverpool. And he's, do you know what? The point he was making was that in the end of this, everyone's debating whether to do it or not. Like, the most important thing is that all the clubs are still there when we get back. Like, it doesn't matter whether, like, United play or not. I mean, in the grand scheme of things, like, I'd love United to get in the top four. I'd love to see football happen again, and I'd love to see it all happen again. But they just need to figure out a way of everyone being there when it gets back. And, like, it's all right for United who can pay all the staff. But imagine if you work for one of the local teams or whatever, and you've got nothing to do, and there's no way of getting... That's the main thing with it all, and I think that was the point you were making. But just kill Liverpool as long as you can figure it out. Everyone else, it doesn't matter who wins it, and because that's the thing. I imagine if like four or five teams that shouldn't have gone out of business go out of business, like, that'd just be fucking
horrendous. It's a reality. Yeah. To be fair,
it's an absolute mare, and it got some questions here in the comments. Oh, someone's saying it's the same as mine. Same thing happened. Put it on charge and press the button twice. Exact same thing happened to the other day. Mine is fine now. What did you do to make it fine? Give them the Champions League spot, but no trophy. I wish Ollie would say... What was that? What's that one? In a presser, he'd rather play himself than Rom. Just imagine scenes. He's not going to do that. It's just not in his nature. What's my thoughts on people not self-isolating and going to the beach? Like, I had to go to the post office before and I felt gross. Honestly, I feel really suspicious of everyone just looking at me like, stop fucking coughing, you fucker. Like, it's not a good mindset to be in. I think everyone's really anxious about everything. I'm more asked about, I mean, like, I'm fairly sure all of us can manage, but that's not the point. Us getting it then means that other people get it. You know, if I get it, it means my wife gets it. My wife currently is doing the shopping for her parents, so they don't have to go out because they're a little bit older. You don't want them to get it. I mean, she took the baby around today to go and see her parents, and they was in the same house, but not going anywhere near each other. And the baby don't understand. The baby's like, come get me, sort of thing. My cousin's high-fiving my granddad through the patio door, like, so they're not making contact with him. Like, these are the things that we have to do to keep our relatives safe. And then you've got selfish pricks who are just, I mean, I saw pictures of the tube the other day and I literally, like, felt anxious looking at it.
Oh,
and I
was
like,
crazy.
Jesus Christ. And I'm seeing people walking around in the markets. I went down to the post office before. It was quiet, but there was still loads more people than I expected to be out. And I'm like, fucking hell, what are you doing, lads? And it's like, okay, doing stuff like the mail and stuff like that, it's not critical, but I understand the essential need for it. And obviously, I'm banging merch out for everyone, so I have to do that because that's one of the only ways we've got of income at the moment. We've lost sponsorships. We're in a fairly, it's not dire, but it's going to be touch and go whether we make it through this. I've got to make sure that those people that have bought stuff get their things. So we're up to date now with everything that everyone's ordered from us. And you think other people are in there doing businessy stuff. There's no one, I don't think, around here that I've seen, at least, just frivolously fucking around. But clearly there's people going out for strolls in the fucking woods and shit, or going out for, like, is it because it's outdoors? People just go, oh, it's fine. It's not fine. It's still getting into contact with people. I mean, like you were saying before, Al, about all the people at the pub, you're like, that's why I'm almost sure. I mean, the Prime Minister's daily address is in like 20 minutes, isn't it? I'm fairly sure. He's going to say that there's, I don't think it'll be locked down. I think the first step is a curfew. And I think it'll be like a 9 p.m. curfew or something like that. Not, and I don't think it makes much difference, in all honesty. But I think that if you listen to what he's saying, it's really mixed messages. And this is where he got a lot of praise last week for some of the stuff that he's done for businesses. And whether that's him or it's his cabinet or whatever, but I think some of the stuff that he has done for businesses does sound brilliant. They've shit it because the economy is going to absolutely fucking tank with the amount of people that are going to struggle for work, people that could be out of their homes. Like, this is like a major, major, major catastrophe, even just with the amount of people that have got it now with what's happening to the economy. So they did do some good stuff last week. But what you're looking at in terms of where this goes on from in the future, he's too reluctant. He said something along the lines of Britain is a country of liberty, and to take that away, we lose our Britishness or something like that. Look at how China, if you believe China, and I'm not saying I do, if you look at how China curtailed it and how Italy's curtailing it, you've got to fucking lock people in their own houses. It's for their own good. Did you see the little clip of the guy getting his fucking legs kicked out from underneath him? There's a policeman, Italian policeman, pointing a gun at a guy, saying, like, what the fuck are you doing outside? Get inside. And the guy's sort of arguing in the street, and another copper comes up from behind him, just fucking kicks his leg out from underneath him and fucks him off. Yeah, and then someone in the comments, Ant Middleton. You got Ant Middleton in there. Like, am I still travelling the world? Yes. Am I hugging people? Yes. You're a fucking dick, mate. You're a fucking dick, mate. How big is your ego to think that you're fucking better than a virus?
Yeah.
That's killing tens of thousands of fucking people. Like, I would be okay. Not going out here licking fucking handrails and toilets like some of these fucking weirdos.
Have you seen those dickheads on social media licking toilet seats? Those fucking Tumblr kids and all that. I don't think people realise that. If you've seen the projected numbers, we're going to be fucking worse than Italy. We're going to be worse.
Crazy.
Everyone's gonna have family who's gonna drop dead.
And no, everyone who's been blasé about this, like, you see the guy in America, the basketball player, who's like, I'm not scared of this shit. Touched all the mics. Got it. You've got
men get it.
Yo, people out there. I think one of the leaders of the political parties in Italy was like, "Cheers, we're not changing our ways." Got it. Like, it's gonna hit so many people. If you think if professional footballers are getting it. Like, think how isolated from the general public they are generally. Think how good the medical care is. Do you think they're living in like dirty homes and stuff like that? This isn't about whether you're dirty or not. This is just a case of whether you're lucky enough to be in the vicinity of where it's been, and it's everywhere. You know, if you look at the map of Britain and see where the infections have been, it's everywhere. There isn't like, oh, like Bolton's fine. Like it's everywhere. It's literally like a percentage of the population everywhere. Like the chances that I've got a sore throat today and I'm flapping a little bit about it, but I don't even know what else I could do. If I've got it, I've fucking got it. I'm already isolating. You know, it's fucking nuts.
I mean, we've got it because we've got the thing at the minute is that like the government and like all the golf unions and stuff are saying, look, golf is fine. Like golf courses is one of the best things you can do. If you can get out and play golf, as long as you're not, you know, there's loads of precautions you put in place and we've done it. And there's a little, but the problem is that there's some golf courses that are taking the piss and like just everyone's flooding to them and they're not distancing and they're leaving places open and like there's people like still on the golf course. They're not, like we've got it. You've got little things like you don't take the flag out. You don't fucking touch this. The changing rooms on. You can't go in the change rooms. Everything's contactless. All this. We've had to make it as slick as we can. Mm. But there's some places that aren't. I'm just saying, well, golf's fine. So you just fucking go and do it. And the problem is that now everywhere is going to be shut because of that. And that's the whole point is that you need to be able to just still be able to go out. The problem is people still need to be able to go out and exercise and stuff. But because people are going out and walk with six people and stuff like that and fucking chatting and saying hello to everyone and still doing all that, that's going to ruin it. And it's going to get to the point where you can say, well, you can't leave your house now. You can't go out. You can't do exercise. You can't walk your dog. You can't do that. And that's where
you're going to have to step in and tell people because it's not been enough advising people because people are like, oh, he's advised us to not go out. Well, can I go out? Well, yeah, you can go out. Well, I'm fucking going out then. Like, I'm seeing a lot of people that are doing the right thing. And it was a big decision for us to do what we did last week when I said, like, I don't think we can continue like this. You know, I don't feel like we're being irresponsible because we are fairly isolated where what we do and where we're located and stuff like that. And we're not in physical contact with each other. But it didn't feel like it was the most I could do. So, you know, for me as your boss is like, I think we need to fucking close and go home and do it. Now, us doing that, we lessen the product that we make, hence this. But ultimately, we've got to think about, like I said, no one who works with us is a vulnerable person. None that works with us, apart from Cam, but he's vulnerable in a different way. No one who works with us is one of the risk categories. The chances are, if we could all get it together and all be fine 3 days later, that's the crack. But it's not about us. So people have to stop thinking like, I'll be all right if I get it. Because I saw that video the other day of the woman that was in her 30s. She said she's fit and well, shouldn't have any underlying health issues. She needed oxygen to be able to get through. Here's the problem. You might survive with medical treatment. I might survive with medical treatment because we're young and we're relatively healthy. Just a little bit of a piss can. But what happens when all the beds are full? That's when you die. That's when I die. That's when the average 30-year-old is in real fucking trouble. Because you would have survived, but now 25,000 people in your local area have got it. And there was 2,000 beds. And the corridor's lined with people that are all fucking hocking it up all over the gaff. And if you do get a particularly serious dose of it, you're fucked. So everybody, it's not about you. It is not about you. It's about the vulnerable people in our society. We're probably going to get it at some point. But let's get it later down the line. If we have to get it, we have to get it. But let's do everything we can to delay getting it. Because if everybody... Look, there is a point where if tomorrow morning everybody woke up with it, who's going to treat you? Now, it's never going to go down like that. But, like, that is a possibility. It's a very minuscule possibility. But that is a possibility. If the entire country was infected, who the fuck is looking after you? Nobody. Who's driving you to the hospital? Nobody.
I don't even think at this stage it's that far-fetched of, you know, an idea. Someone hit the nail on the head on Twitter yesterday. McDonald's, who are notoriously the biggest, money grabbers in industry, business industry, they've decided to shut their doors. Was it today in about 2 hours? McDonald's are fucking shutting their doors. Everywhere shut their doors. The pubs have shut. Independent pubs where people's livelihoods are based on have shut. It's just, oh man, it's just, this has been,
McDonald's could have either just said, look, we're going to just stick to Uber Eats or whatever, we'll keep the rest, we'll shut the door or whatever and do that, we'll keep people cooking, and even they went, nah, it's not worth it, we can't do it, because they'd have made a fortune. Fucking every local takeaway is making a fortune. You're not telling me McDonald's wouldn't have made an absolute killing off it, and they've just gone, no, can't do it. Nando's have done it, loads of places.
We drove past the McDonald's the other day, and it was closed, the shop part of it. This was Friday or Saturday. The shop, like the restaurant part, was closed, and there was an enormous queue for the drive-through. And I was like, oh, I guess they must have closed the front of it, which is sensible. But then again, they've made the decision, nah, fuck it. Now, the issue is, obviously, the people who work in those, what are they going to do? But you know, like I said, we said on the call this morning, you know, we've got people who work for us, who can only work for us when we're working. And those people aren't getting left behind from us. We're going to find other things to do, and we want to keep everyone that we've got as a team. We start together as a team, we finish together as a team, and if it goes tits up, well, it goes tits up together as a fucking team. So, you know, that's my thoughts on it. But everyone needs to stop being a selfish fuck. Stop letting this spread. And the sooner you do it, it's one of them, isn't it? Like, if you delay and delay and delay fucking doing something, it becomes a massive job. But if you just go and get it out of the way, it's not a big job. So get your fucking self isolated. Sit in your fucking house. Watch Netflix. Go and watch the weird shit you never thought you'd fucking see. Go back and watch every fucking podcast we've ever done. Someone was saying before, they've just out of boredom went and watched our Tranmere watch along. Go watch that if you want entertaining. Oh, that's 2.5 hours of fucking
idea.
Mayhem.
Absolute brilliant idea.
Go watch all that shit and wait it out. It'll be a couple of weeks, 3-4 weeks or something like that if everybody did it properly. But because some people are fucking selfish and they don't want to change what they're doing, it's going to drag on for months. And then you keep going out and going, I'm fucking bored of this. There's no fucking football. Get your fucking self inside. It'll be back quicker if we get over this thing. But you've got to lock it down. South Korea have done it. Italy have done it. China have done it. And they're still getting fucked. We're not even doing it. We're just, I'd say 70% of people, it feels like, are carrying on like fucking normal. And that's not going to go down well.
I think there's the carry on the normal. The worst people are the ones that are going, oh, what a great time. This great fucking holiday. This going, and the kids are home and they're going, I'll tell you what, just go out with your mates. No, don't go out with your mates. You stay away from them. Don't get into contact with people. That's the way, you know. And that's the thing. I mean, there was the excuse before where they hadn't sorted out any measures for businesses and things like that. They'd said, look, you can't do that. But there's no excuse now. If you can't, your business will get going. And it's shit and it'll take a lot of paperwork to get around it and stuff. But things will keep going and stuff like that. You know, you can figure it out. Just fucking stay at home.
That's it. I mean, ultimately, and you don't need loads. Like, you know, Kieran had beans on toast today. I had beans on toast today. One, doesn't fucking cost
class. Class. Two, unreal.
Takes fucking nothing.
And unreal. Great meal.
I'm going to say it's an elite tier dinner. How about that?
That's not even a discussion. That's just a fact. You've got your starch and your protein.
How much better is it, though, when you get your beans on toast and someone else made it for you, and then you find in the beans the little sausages in there, because there's the extra special beans on. That's the
sausages.
That's when you know you've... The little sausages in the beans on toast is on another level.
You can buy them now. But I was going to say as well, serious question. Does anyone have good suggestions for Netflix? I've just watched that Tiger Man one. Someone I saw.
I watched that yesterday. Ooh, mama.
That guy was on an episode of Louis Theroux like 20 years ago, like one of his old Weird Weekends ones. That guy, basically, it would take 25 minutes to explain.
It would. All I'm going to say is
fucking insane.
Gay, redneck, freeway marriage.
Mullet wearing, tigers, hitman.
I'm very confused.
It's amazing. It's amazing. It's amazing.
Oh, please save.
It's amazing.
I started watching the Joe Rogan Duncan Trussell podcast today. You have to watch it to see two grown men, one in a NASA suit, one in a ghillie costume with a mask on.
And gloves.
Talking high as anything. And they are talking serious about how life is, what this all means and stuff like that. You're just watching it go, Yeah. Yeah, you're right. And then they cut to him, serious thing, and he's there, mask on. You're like, oh my God, why am I watching these two? He's quality. That's
like a car crash you shouldn't watch, but you can't look away.
Oh shit. Danny Carey in the comments said the Prime Minister's press conference has been pushed back. The Cobra meeting ran over. Mm. Sounds like there's a big announcement coming.
I have a feeling today could be the day. I have a feeling today could be the day, if not tomorrow, where they lock everything down.
Well, I said this to Joe Adams
because you know?
We was meant to go at midnight last night, and I said I want to. Basically, what we want to do is I want to go and just shoot something really creative and not anything to do with football, because obviously we did loads of stuff around football. But I just wanted to give us something to be creative and work on with actual footage, because so much of what we're going to do this next 2 months is going to be green screens and Skype, right? So I wanted something real, and obviously me, Joe Adam, we've been with each other for like the last month uninterrupted almost every day, haven't we? So I'm like, look, there's no way them have got it without me having it, so like, let's go out last night at midnight, let's go get what I was going to get was footage of Manchester. I was going to get drone footage of the dead streets, loads of really cinematographic videos all around the place, and put together a really sort of moody edit about, you know, a desolate Manchester. Just record it for posterity reasons, and as a bit of a fun sort of project and all that sort of shit. Obviously, the drone's dead, so we said, right, postpone it. I'll try and get a new battery, and we'll try and go and do it. But I did say to both of them, I've got a fucking feeling, because we were going to do it tonight, and I said, let's do it last night. And I'm going to cancel it because the drone don't work. But I was saying, like, I think we need to get it done, because I can honestly see this shit getting locked down. It's the only way, because you've got too many selfish cunts in London just fucking about doing what they want.
Tell you what, we may be on lockdown, but that doesn't stop the sex bots from appearing in the chat.
I know, I'm just trying to whack Jesus a few of them Christ. Now. They are fucking relentless. Luckily, they use loads of emojis, so that's how you know them.
Yeah.
Why does... Yeah, but the thing how is, does this fucking
the bots are in there, but they're like talking sense. They're like talking normal comments.
They copy previously written comments. Do us a favour, everybody. Make sure to like the video. Please subscribe if you haven't already. If you fancy a mug for free, then all you got to do is go and leave us a review on iTunes, preferably a 5-star review. Keep watching the content. Share the content if you can't get involved on Patreon. Literally 500 more Patreons, which is a lot, I know, but literally 500 more Patreons would make sure that all of these lads keep their jobs, and obviously I can keep doing what we're doing. That's how many we need. If we get that, like, we are fine, and we will sail right through this. So if you can, brilliant. If you can't, literally a share will do. And if not, see the link in the description for what's going on in the store. You can get hats like these. There's all sorts of other stuff, and we're in the process of sorting out the away kit for next year as well, for whenever the fuck that happens. But that's it from me. Anything
smart.
Final from you guys?
No, we're still selling shirts and stuff, though, yeah? They can still get that, yeah?
Yeah, you can get T-shirts. We've got the match shirt. I spoke to the suppliers, and obviously with Umbro Friday. They said they're carrying on, and they're only 20 minutes away from me, so I can still go and everything that gets bought gets embroidered up 20 minutes away, and I can get it all in the post for you as well. So it'll really help keep the channel coming. You get yourself some good stash as well if you fancy it. Support Paddock FC. Because we will be coming back fucking strong whenever we get that opportunity.
So, like I said,
if you can get in the mix on Patreon, I'm doing like a nightly broadcast, like the Prime Minister, but like far better looking. Mine's going to be a bit more positive than the Prime Minister's. So if you're interested in that, as well as a Patreon podcast, as well as a vlog, as well as all the other shit that's going out there. Actually, I need to say this. This week's Patreon vlog is going to be fucking mental, because it's about a month's worth of footage, and it includes us going to the Fitzroy. It's a good one. But if you can't find it, I don't know if the link's in on this channel, but it's Patreon, Stephen Howson. Just Google it. You're all adults. Check it out. Like I said, 500, and all of these lads keep their jobs all the way through it. And that's what I'm thinking. But cheers for tuning in. I imagine Joe will be back again in the morning with the news, or it might be Alex. I'm not sure who's doing them. But again, honestly, it means a lot for you guys tuning in. Hopefully everyone stays safe, and we will see you guys in the next one. Oh, it's me that has to shut it off, innit? I was thinking someone else was going to do it, but it's not. It's me.
You're waiting for your producer. Yeah,
I was like, oh, no, it's me. I'll do it. Right, see you later.